Welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. My name is Stuart Haynes, Editor-in-Chief of iFormRx, and joining me today is Sarah Wettergreen and Jennifer Trujillo to talk about the GLP-1 receptor agonist lixisenatide and its impact on cardiovascular events in patients with type 2 diabetes. The results of the ELIXA study were published in December 2015 in the New England Journal of Medicine. Drs. Wettergreen and Trujillo wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled Lixisenatide and Cardiovascular Outcomes, The Burden of Proof. Sarah is a PGY2 ambulatory care family medicine pharmacy practice resident, and Jennifer is on faculty at the University of Colorado Skaggs School of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences. Dr. Trujillo practices at the University of Colorado Center for Adult Diabetes Care and Research in Denver, Colorado. Thanks for joining me today, Jen and Sarah, for the iFormRx podcast.
Hi, Stuart. Thank you for speaking with us today.
Hey, Stuart. We're happy to be here.
So, Sarah, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled Lixisenatide in Patients with Type 2 Diabetes and Acute Coronary Syndrome to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
I would say that the ELIXA study is a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial evaluating the impact of lixisenatide on cardiovascular morbidity and mortality in over 6,000 patients with type 2 diabetes and an acute coronary event within the previous 6 months. The investigators compared lixisenatide to placebo for the primary outcome of the first occurrence of either death from cardiovascular causes, non-fatal MI, non-fatal stroke, or hospitalization for unstable angina, as well as multiple secondary outcomes, including rate of pancreatitis and other adverse effects. After an average of 25 months of follow-up, no significant difference was found between lixisenatide and placebo in the primary endpoint, and lixisenatide was found to be safe overall, as the most frequent adverse effects of nausea and vomiting were anticipated for this medication class, and the rate of pancreatitis was actually lower in the lixisenatide group than in the placebo group. Overall, based on the ELIXA study, lixisenatide can be considered as a safe option for patients with type 2 diabetes in a recent acute coronary event.
So, Sarah, what do you believe are the key strengths and weaknesses of the study, and are there any confounders present that you believe may have impacted the results?
One of the strengths of this study is the large number of patients included from multiple sites in various continents around the globe. The baseline characteristics were similar between patients in both groups, including similarity in rates of prescribed cardiovascular and antihyperglycemic medications. It was also well-designed as a double-blinded, placebo-controlled study. A potential weakness of this study is that a majority of the patient population consisted of middle-aged white males, limiting applicability to more diverse patient populations. No confounders were identified that may have impacted the study results. However, it is noteworthy that the study design between ELIXA and previously completed cardiovascular outcome studies for antihyperglycemic medications differ in terms of their cardiovascular inclusion criteria and primary outcomes. So unfortunately, the results cannot be directly compared as apples to apples.
So Jen, in your commentary, you point out that several other studies have been performed in the past 2 years and report the cardiovascular outcomes associated with several of our newer anti-diabetic agents, specifically saxagliptin, alogliptin, sitagliptin, and empagliflozin. The three DPP-4 inhibitors were all non-inferior to usual care with regard to the primary composite outcomes in these studies, but saxagliptin was associated with a higher rate of hospitalizations for heart failure. Only the EMPA-REG study, which used empagliflozin, demonstrated a cardiovascular benefit. Now, given that the GLP-1 receptor agonists have a positive impact on weight and blood pressure and lipids, as well as a relatively potent effect on blood glucose, I must say I found the results of this study a little surprising. Do you think this is a class effect? That is to say, do you think all GLP-1 receptor agonists will have a negligible effect on cardiovascular outcomes? And should the GLP-1 receptor agonists keep their preferred status on the AACE treatment algorithm?
I found the results of ELIXA disappointing since there is evidence suggesting potential cardiovascular benefits with the GLP-1 receptor agonists. Short-term studies in animals and humans have shown protective effects on myocardium, direct positive effects on endothelial function, and improvements in LV function. Those studies, along with those effects we see on surrogate markers such as A1C, blood pressure, and weight, suggested to me that we might see positive effects in terms of cardiovascular outcomes with the long-term studies. With that said, I do not think the results of ELIXA translate into a class effect. There are 5 GLP-1 receptor agonists approved for use in the United States, 1 awaiting FDA approval, and many more in development. And we know that there are important differences between the products in terms of molecular structure, pharmacokinetics, and pharmacodynamics. These differences have translated into clinical differences we see in glycemic efficacy, safety, and dosing. Because of this heterogeneity within the class, I don't believe that all GLP-1 receptor agonists are created equal. I think that each agent should be evaluated independently as opposed to assuming a class effect. And of course, I'll add that the much-anticipated LEADER trial, which is the cardiovascular safety study for liraglutide, was completed at the end of 2015 and will be presented at the ADA meeting this summer. The preliminary statements that have been released indicated that liraglutide significantly reduced the risk of major cardiovascular events. So I definitely don't think we can view this as a class effect. Your next question, Stuart, was whether the GLP-1 RA should keep their preferred status in the ADA or ACE guidelines. I would start by highlighting the fact that the ADA guidelines place the GLP-1 RAs as one of 6 second-line options to consider after metformin, while the ACE guidelines certainly place them in a more preferred status. Either way, though, I think the guidelines are likely going to get more complex. The results of the EMPA-REG, the ELIXA, and now the LEADER studies have all hit us within the last 6 months, and we're all still deciding what to really make of it all. I do think the guidelines will change to incorporate cardiovascular outcome evidence into the decision-making process, and the SGLT2 inhibitors and likely liraglutide may become more preferred in high-risk patients. But that patient-centered, individualized approach to drug selection, I believe that will remain. So considering what we're likely to see with the LEADER results when they're presented, I don't think the GLP-1 receptor agonists will lose their preferred status, but it sure will be interesting to see how they distinguish between the different agents within the class.
Well, speaking of a patient-centered approach to care, I'm wondering what you would do in a case of a 57-year-old woman who was admitted to your hospital 4 weeks ago with chest pain and after a diagnostic workup had 2 coronary artery stents placed. Now, prior to her hospitalization, the patient thought she was in relatively good health because she didn't take any medications. She does admit, however, that she's been overweight. At the time of admission, her blood glucose was significantly elevated and her A1C was 8.6%. So the patient was given insulin while in hospital and subsequently discharged on metformin, titrated to 1,000 milligrams twice a day, and instructed to follow up in the diabetes clinic. She was also started on antihypertensive therapy, a high-potency statin, and dual antiplatelet therapy. So you're seeing her for the first time today. Her A1C has improved somewhat. It's now 8.2%, and the patient states she's trying to lose weight. Given the results of ELIXA, would you favor using GLP-1 receptor agonist in this patient, or would you prefer an SGLT2 inhibitor, or prefer a DPP-4 inhibitor, or even basal insulin? There are so many potential choices. How would you go about making a decision about which agent to use in a situation like this?
Well, it's a great case and something that comes up every day in my practice. I think either a GLP-1 receptor agonist or an SGLT2 inhibitor is a reasonable option to consider in this patient. But I would not favor a GLP-1 receptor agonist solely based on the results of this ELIXA trial. There are many patient-specific factors to consider. First, I think we should keep the end in mind. What are we trying to achieve? ultimately, for this patient, I would want to reduce her risk of cardiovascular events and reduce her risk of developing microvascular complications while, of course, minimizing the treatment burden. Using an evidence-based medicine approach, then, I would consider empagliflozin or liraglutide, even though we don't have the data yet, due to the cardiovascular outcomes. But I would also want to achieve an A1C goal of less than 7% to reduce the risk of microvascular complications. The GLP-1 receptor agonist would offer better glucose lowering, but the SGLT2 inhibitor would offer a bit more weight loss. Neither increases the risk of hypoglycemia, but both come with their own set of adverse effects. I think I could safely say that a DPP-4 inhibitor would be lower on my list. There's no data indicating cardiovascular benefit. They are less effective at lowering A1C, and they're weight neutral. But of course, all of these decisions really hinge on things like cost, insurance coverage, and the collaboration with the patient. I don't think there's any single study that can replace the value of working through the pros and cons of your options in collaboration with your patient.
Thank you, Sarah and Jen, for joining us today to discuss the ELIXA study and the use of antidiabetic medications in patients with type 2 diabetes who are at high risk for cardiovascular events. It's clear from your comments that you believe some of our newer medications may have cardiovascular benefits, but we've still got a lot to learn. There's new studies that will be published over the next few months, and so we've got a lot to sort out in terms of which agents should be preferred. Well, tell us what you think by posting a comment or two. Only iFormRx members can leave comments and participate in other interactive features on the site. You can become a member of iFormRx. It's free. Sign up today. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iFormRx, signing off.